Before the break, we had finished looking at the first two reasons that we know that the most important function for spiritual leadership is teaching the Word of God. So now we move to the third one. So we know that teaching is the most important function of the spiritual leadership because that was what the apostles made their greatest priority. This priority was demonstrated when trouble arose in the early church about administrative matters that had to do with meeting the needs of poor believers in the early church in Jerusalem. The apostles recognized that their greatest function was to provide instruction and not to be distracted by other matters, which are no doubt very important, but they pale in significance when it compares to the primary role of the spiritual leadership. It was because the apostles recognized the importance of the word that they appointed those seven men, whom for most part today we describe them as deacons. Now I'm referring to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Acts 6, 1 through 4. This is what it says in Acts chapter 6. In those days, when the number of disciples were increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It will not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." Now clearly, the apostles recognized the need for proper administration of the material needs of believers. But they also realized that the greatest responsibility of spiritual leadership is the teaching of the Word of God, which certainly will require them being very prayerful. Here, although something that every congregation really needs to understand, that the greatest function of spiritual leadership is teaching the word. Now, the greatest need of any congregation, of course, really is the teaching of the word. Consequently, the greatest function of the spiritual leadership is teaching God's word. Now, as important as meeting the needs of those who are physically in need among believers is, that's very important. We should never neglect it. Very important. As I'll continue, you will see some of these things where we as a church may be coming short. So it is important that we do both, but the teaching of the Word of God takes precedence. That's the issue. For it is the correct teaching of the Word of God that will cause believers to be truly generous in helping those who are genuinely in need. Now it seems to me that one of the reasons many pastors fail in this respect of teaching the word is because they are involved in daily administration of the local church in terms of its finances and other operational issues. So they have little time to study the word of God. In reality, pastors should be more concerned with the teaching of the word of God and less concerned about any administrative matter that distracts from that primary goal. Of course, for a pastor to be involved in every detail of the church administration is an indication that such a person does not recognize that there are other gifted men in the local congregation who are there to administer the local church. Now, God has given some believers the gift of administration, and that is really needed for the smooth running of the local church. We know this from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. First Corinthians 12:28, and as we're going through this, what we want to keep pointing out is to see how those who preceded us in faith function, and that should be the church should be going back to the New Testament times, and for some reason we're drifting further and further away from the New Testament practices, and that's why this study becomes an important one for all of us to pay close attention. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says, "And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, all those having gifts of healing, those able to help others." Look at the next one. "Those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues." See, the gift of administration is a leadership gift that involves guiding other people. In fact, the Greek word translated administration here, what it really means is, it really means to steer a ship. That's really what it means. It's the word that is used for steering a ship. So an administrator is one that provides guidance to others about certain issues, in this case, in the local church, so that each local church that is constituted or founded of the Lord and not of man must have men with the gift of administration. It's been my argument. Any local church that is constituted by the Lord. I know there are so many who have formed local churches and they're not constituted by the Lord. Anyone that is constituted by him, that church will have all gifts spiritual that they need to function within the members of that group. So, it's no doubt in my mind then that each local church should have men with gift of administration. Therefore, it will really be fully hard if a pastor does not allow those with the gift to exercise it. Now, my understanding of this gift and others keep me from saying much during our deacons' meetings. I don't say much. Now, we have gifted men, so I just love listening to them, watch them exercise their gift during those meetings. Now, the only time that I will butt in, I haven't done so yet, with the minor things, is if there is at any time anything is contrary to the word of God is said. And that's when I will come in. But since our deacon board consists of men who have been well taught the word, we have never had such a question, so to say. So in any event, the point is that the apostles clearly demonstrated by the appointment of seven administrators that the greatest function of a spiritual leadership is teaching. That is the most important function for the existence, functioning of a local church. When that fails, everything crumbles. So it is this failure that accounts for what we see today in the church among Christians. Fourth, we go to the fourth reason. We are certain that the teaching of the word of God is the most important function of the spiritual leadership of any congregation because of the practices and instructions of the apostles themselves. We have already given one example of the action that that proves that they understood this by practice. But clearly there are other ways that they shown that by other practices and their writing. The Apostle Paul continued to teach the various local congregations that he helped found. And even those he did not found directly, he still wrote them. For example, consider the apostles' teaching or what he says to the church in Colossae. So this is given to us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Colossians 1, 28. Says, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Teaching everyone. It didn't say other thing. Teaching everyone with all wisdom. So that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. See, that's the real reason we're studying. To get each and every one of us to mature spiritually. That's the goal. And, you know, there's no reason, at least the way I understand it, there's no reason anyone in this congregation should in the end stand before the judgment seat of Christ and say, well, I didn't know that. Or anything of that nature. There should be no reason. We study, we meet to study, so that each and every one of us will mature spiritually and function the way to honor our Savior. So that's what the apostle says here. It's to teach and present everyone perfect. It's not perfect that you don't sin. No, it's maturity. Now, of course, if you mature, the less you sin. It doesn't mean you don't sin. We all sin. But the more you mature, the less you sin in certain areas. Now, it is not only that the apostle taught the word, but they also continued to instruct spiritual leadership, following them, that's those of us coming after them, of the importance of teaching the word. The apostle Paul, in his pastoral epistles, underscore this function, that in the qualification of spiritual leadership, he included this function as the most important and the only function directly mentioned among function of pastors. And you remember, we studied all this in detail in 1 Timothy chapter 3, but then particularly in verse 2, that's where he mentions something. That's the only place he actually mentioned the function of those who are supposed to be overseers. Because you remember, I even quoted that passage last week, 1 Timothy 3:2, where it says, able to teach. That's the only function he actually mentioned, which is important. Now, the apostle, recognizing the importance of teaching the word of God on the path of spiritual leadership, instructed Timothy to be involved in public teaching of the word of God, as in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Here is the apostle, because he realized the importance of this thing, teaching the word. The lifeline of the local church, the lifeline of believers, come from the teaching of the word and the ministration of the spirit. In other words, the more you know. Now I get sometimes I laugh at Christians who say, well, do you really have to study all the time? The answer is yes. If you think you don't have to study all the time about the word of God, you just don't get it yet. Now, just like you breathe, if you can tell me you don't need to breathe all the time and still function, then I will yield that to you. But I just have for me to conceive that when the Bible clearly says, this book of the law shall not depart from your eyes day in, day out, daily. And some Christians say, well, you know, I don't really have to show up in Bible studies or this and that. I can do it once in a while. No. That is the person who hasn't understood the issue. The issue is none of us remembers everything we've been studying. But the more we study, the more you things come over and over and over, and it sinks in. So this is one reason I don't, you know, I never buy those arguments that people say, well, all I need is one. You know, if I showed up once a week, that's okay. And now it's not okay. Now, otherwise, the instructions that we get here will be meaningless. But nevertheless, look at what it says in 1 Timothy 4:13. It says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. See, it's not any other thing. That's what Timothy is supposed to do. Now, in his last epistle to Timothy, the Apostle Paul brought up this matter of teaching. Again, as we read in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 24. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And this is what the apostle wrote before he departed from this planet. He was in prison now and looking forward for his execution. He knows it's coming. His head will soon be cut off. He knew that. And this is what he still had to say to Timothy. He says, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone. Notice again, able to teach, not resentful, able to teach. That's, my fellow believer, is why this thing is so important. The Apostle Paul was not alone in encouraging spiritual leaders to instruct their congregation. So did the Apostle Peter. In the passage that we already mentioned before the break, but just for completeness, let's go back and look at one verse of that in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's go back and just look at verse 2. First Peter 5:2 says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. So you see, Apostle Peter did not use the word teach. Instead, he used a Greek word that means to be a shepherd. Now, we can understand why the apostle used the Greek word that means to be a shepherd in order to describe the function of spiritual leadership as teaching. It is because that was the exact word that our Lord used to charge him of his responsibility of teaching the church. So we have already, of course, demonstrated that the apostle understood that function of shepherding the church as primarily instructing the church, hence some of his epistles. Now, so when he addressed those who are spiritual leaders of the church of Christ, he instructed them to be teachers of the word using the very word that our Lord used towards him. So, if there's not much teaching, then the church will lose its impact on the world. Now that we have established that teaching is the most important function of spiritual leadership, why is it then that the spiritual leadership has failed in the past in this respect and continues at the present time to fail the local churches? Why? I'm going to provide you at least three reasons for this failure. Well, I believe that why we don't have much teaching going on in churches today, which is part of our problem. First, there is a general lack of the knowledge of the Word of God among the spiritual leadership. There's a general lack of knowledge of the Word of God among spiritual leadership. Now, we've already addressed this problem, so to say. However, we mention it again to show that it is one reason that the spiritual leadership is failing or has failed the church. It is important that spiritual leadership become knowledgeable in the Word of God in order to help the church. Now, there are two sides to being knowledgeable, knowing the information and having experience to go with it. That's what I mean by being knowledgeable. It's not just knowing the information. Now, when some of the Israelites returned from captivity, they received excellent teaching that came from a priest, Ezra, who was very knowledgeable in the scripture, as the Bible tells us in Ezra chapter 7, verse 6. Ezra Ezra 7, verse 6. Because when you open it, you hold it, because we'll come back after that verse, we'll come back to another verse in that chapter. Ezra chapter 7, verse 6. Reads Ezra 7:6 reads, "This Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher, well versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he asked, for the hand of the Lord, his God, was on him." Now, I say it's not a superfluous, information. When the Holy Spirit informed us that Ezra was well versed in the law. Now, this information was given, so we realize the need for knowledge of the scripture on the part of the teacher and also on the part of the believer. See, no one, but we're focusing mostly on teachers now, because no one can truly teach what he doesn't know. As it should be obvious, the way a teacher gets to be versed in the scripture, of course, is by studying it. So we can be certain that Ezra developed his knowledge of the law by studying it, as I'm going to refer to later on. In the same way, only if the teaching or the teaching spiritual leadership spends time in the study of the Word of God that it will become versed in the scripture. So that's the first reason why there seems to be no teaching going on today. Lack of knowledge of the scripture among the spiritual leadership. Secondly, spiritual leadership has failed the churches, local churches, or continues to fail them in this matter of instruction because of lack of commitment to the teaching of the Word of God. Lack of commitment to the teaching of Word of God and lack of a word that most people don't like, self-discipline. Lack of commitment, lack of self-discipline. Now, as we have mentioned previously, obtaining a seminary education does not automatically translate into being a good teacher of God's word. There must be the commitment to studying and applying the word. Now, without a doubt, to study continuously the word of God requires love for the Lord Jesus Christ and continuous self-discipline. Now, recall that the way Peter was to demonstrate his love for the Lord Jesus Christ was to teach believers. Remember, he asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And at one point, he almost got offended because he forgot that he just denied him anyway. He got offended. And the Lord just keeps saying, "Teach. If you really say you love me, teach." So if a pastor loves the Lord, one way he is to demonstrate it is through studying and teaching his word. Now, if a pastor is not willing to be self-disciplined, he could not possibly teach his congregation on a consistent basis. Now, you notice why I said discipline. Now, they realize that love requires self-discipline. You know that? You see, this, some of these things are words that we throw around. I love you. But we don't know what we're talking about sometimes. And I'm saying the word love requires self-discipline. Because without self-discipline, you really can't love. All I'm saying is, you show me a person who is confused, no discipline in his life, and I show you a person who is incapable of loving anyone. So, when you see people who are so disorganized, or, you know, what some people say, scatterbrained, when you see those kind of people, generally they are not capable of loving anyone. Because love itself requires self-discipline. Because in action, you have to have self-discipline. Now, it is self-discipline, let me use husband and wife, for example, that will cause you to put the other person before you. Self-discipline. That will cause you not to put too much importance on yourself and think about the other person. It is self-discipline that, for example, will cause you, you see what he or she has done you wrong, and on that self-discipline, you just look at it and say, well, that's really not important. You let it go. And love continues to function. See, that's what I'm saying. There has to be self-discipline for love to function. So, if there is no self-discipline, in no way any pastor can say that he loves the Lord. Because he couldn't love him enough to be self-disciplined to do what he wants him to do. Therefore, it is important that the spiritual leadership of the church be truly committed to the study and the teaching of the Word of God. Now, this study was, of course, the secret or one of the secrets of the success for that priest teacher, Ezra, whom we mentioned previously. Now, go back to it, to that chapter, and to see that he was a man devoted to the study of the Word of God, and that's how he became an expert. Look at verse 10, the seventh chapter where was Ezra. Look at verse 10, what it says about him. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching his decrees and laws in Israel. See, devotion, that's what I mean, lack of commitment. You have to be devoted. Now, don't let anyone fool you. It's not an easy thing, I realize that, but a pastor must do it if he claims to love the Lord. Now, Ezra here not only devoted himself to the study of the law, but also, note, he observed it in that he practiced what he taught. So you see, there is a sense that if spiritual leadership is unwilling to live according to the word, that no serious teaching of the word of God would take place. You see, we don't like to be condemned. And every pastor, anyone who teaches the word, anyone who has studied to teach others, we know that the first thing that happens, you are self-condemned. You get the first beating before any other person. And so it's not easy. So those who don't want to, you know, face themselves, now they don't want to do that. So that's what I say. You see that really we come back to the same point that we made previously regarding the moral authority of the spiritual leadership of a local church. In any event, it is because spiritual leaders are unwilling to devote themselves to the study of the Word of God that there is little teaching of the Word of God today. Now, many, many times, we hear people try to shift blames in the recent disaster that happened, storm, hurricane, whatever you want to call it. I mean, most of us didn't have TV to hear what it is, but I understood they were blaming somebody. Well, really, I want to tell you the truth. If we want to blame, we should be blaming pastors, not a politician. And truly speaking, a politician has little to do with anything, really, except the running of the government. But really, even the running of the government, if God doesn't sustain that, everything is a wasted effort. Therefore, what should be the effort of Christians is on the spiritual. Because once the spiritual is taken care of, the Lord deals with the rest. So if there are people who are dragging down this nation, for example, they're the pastors, those in the pulpits, for not devoting themselves and teaching the truth. Well, before you start gloating about the pastors, but let me come back to another thing. So I get to the third reason. Spiritual leadership of various congregations fell in the area of instructing believers because of fear and negativity on the part of the congregants. In other words, the pastors are afraid because their congregations are negative. That's what I'm saying. See, many pastors are afraid to teach the truth. They know because they are afraid of the people and because people do not want to hear the truth. Therefore, in order to please the people, these pastors settle for a few minutes sermons that say nothing to the people. Now, I recall many years ago speaking with a pastor about a certain doctrine of the Bible, which the denomination that he belonged to does not teach. I showed him convincingly from the scripture that that doctrine was true. He was convinced, he himself became convinced of his truth. But then he told me, you know, if I taught that in my church, they run me off the next day. That's what he told me. And when I thought about it, what a tragedy that a person will be because of the fear and negativity of believers keep from teaching God's word. Now that's something that pastors ought to know. That the prophets were unpopular people, and pastors are like prophets today. They're not called to be popular. They're not, you know, you may don't like them, get angry for what they tell you, but they got to do it. If they're actually those who represent God. Because God is telling us what we don't like to hear. And but many pastors, because they are afraid and negativity on the part of people, they don't want to do it. Well, it should not surprise us that people are negative towards God's word, because that is what has already been prophesied that will be taking place in the latter days. As we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. This is what it says regarding this negativity among believers and among people in general as the days begin to approach closer and closer. This is what it says. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrines. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. You know, people don't want to listen to teaching of the word of God. You know, somebody was in conversation. They can understand how you can sit here for 2 hours and listen to the teaching of the word of God. But they can stand in those stadium for 3-4 hours as long as the ball is flying. They stay there. And yet they cannot stay here for in a church. I'm not talking about this particular one. In a church for more than 30 minutes and they already twitching. That shows that spiritually they have no interest. Their mind is much more motivated and elevated with entertainment than what is so important in their life, the spiritual. So this is the thing. So it says, yeah, they will turn around. They look for those who teach what they like to hear. So you see, there are many believers who avoid certain local churches because the pastors are teaching the truth, which they don't want to hear. Put it in another way, that most pastors who are teaching the word of God in this country and all over the world, their, what we call their pews are the hottest to sit. What do I mean by that? That's what makes, the teaching makes a whole lot of people so uncomfortable. It is painful to listen to them. That's what I mean by being hot, hot seat. So, now that we know that pastors are not teaching the truth because people don't want to hear, so what do we do? Or what should they, the pastor themselves do, really? Well, they look for, you know, for people who, you have to remember that, they have to understand that these people who don't want the truth, what they do is they look for the local church or local churches where nothing is taught or where their ego is fed, but not the teaching of the Word of God. There are many local churches that are issue-driven. So people who love those issues flock to such congregations. For example, instead of teaching the whole realm of the Word of God, there are those whose today, I'm using today's environment, whose main issue is abortion. That's all they want, abortion. So, people who are preoccupied with that issue go to the churches where that is a primary topic, so that the pastor speaks on it every Sunday in different ways, but never teaches about adultery or fornication, which is one of the reasons for abortion. Never talks about that. And you see all these self-righteous people so happy, you know, I've never committed abortion. Really? And they've committed things worse, but never, we don't get there right now. But here you see, they're so, that's all they want. And they say, oh, our pastor is so great. You need to have heard what he said today about these people who are doing abortion. In other words, it has nothing to do with me. I go to church, it's not for me, it's for somebody else. And you can tell immediately something is going wrong. That person or that group, nothing is going on in far, as far as teaching of the Word of God is concerned. Well, we have delineated the problems of the failure of the spiritual leadership of the church with respect to teaching God's Word. So what's the solution? We've pointed the problem. What's the solution? Well, the solution to the failure of spiritual leadership to teach is twofold. It's a twofold solution. First, spiritual leadership should devote time to study the Word of God. That's the first solution. Spend time and study the Word of God. Now, I have to be one of those to first admit, and some of you may not have noticed, but I admit this. When you study this much and see what God says, you're so eager to, you know, you just don't want to monkey around. You want to come out and give it to people. And you just don't have enough time to do it. But when you don't study, you're looking for 10, 15 minutes. But when you study, know what God has said, and you know the urgency of what God is saying in His Word, you want to be able to give it to others. So if they study, the Holy Spirit will create that urgency in their soul, and they will have no choice but to give it out. Secondly, they should stand up and claim God's promise that says that we are not given the spirit of fear, but of power and boldness. I'm saying they should claim 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Second Timothy 1:7. That's the passage the pastor should claim, and all of us believers. It's not just pastors, but this, we're dealing with spiritual leadership. This is what it says. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, look at that word, and of self-discipline. See one reason? When I say you can't be a true lover if you're not a self-disciplined person, see, they're tied up. But you know, we have all these ideas that just and more emotional things that's going on in the society. But you see, it connects love with self-discipline. So if a pastor devotes time to the study of the Word of God and is willing to claim this promise that I've given, God will provide him the right kind of congregation where he will teach his word. Now, as you have listened to this teaching concerning the failure of the spiritual leadership in the area of teaching, are you concerned about it? Are you? I have just, kind of blasted spiritual leadership, so to say. I didn't really blast them. I just pointed what the word says. But are you really concerned about it? Or, if I may put it in another way, are you concerned about the Church of Christ? Are you? If so, you should be asking yourself, what can I do to encourage and to ensure that the teaching leadership is encouraged to carry out its function? You should be asking that. That's a question that should be coming to your mind. Well, there are several things you can do, but we will mention one thing that we consider most important, because every other thing, in my mind, is the heart of a believer's responsibility towards spiritual leadership. Without this, you cannot do any other thing that will help a spiritual leader. So in my mind, what I'm going to give you is the greatest responsibility that you owe right now. If you're concerned about the state of the church, if you're concerned about the spiritual leadership of local churches, your primary support for the teaching leadership is simply to obey God's instruction as they explain it to you. That's your responsibility. That's the solution that you put in. Now, it is this requirement that is really given in a different way in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. I'm saying that all other responsibilities that you and I as believers have in order to ensure that the church is functioning, that the leadership is teaching the word, boils down to one responsibility, and that is to obey the instruction of God's word as they teach it to us. Hebrews 13, chapter the 17th verse reads this way: obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that will be of no advantage to you. In other words, if you make their work difficult, you're in for trouble. So the commands, obey and submit, are saying the same thing, so that the word "and" may better be understood as an explanation with the meaning that is. So in effect, we could give an alternative translation as something like this: keep obeying your leaders. That is, keep submitting to their authority. Or better yet, we can give another one. We could also translate this way to make it more contemporary, so to say: keep obeying your leaders by doing what they instruct you to do. Let me repeat that. Keep obeying your leaders by keep doing what they instruct you to do. Now, what does it really mean to obey a person except, to submit to that person's authority? In effect, there's no way that you can obey a person without submitting to that person's authority. So, here the submission to leaders or leaders' authority is tantamount to obeying the instruction of God's word. In other words, you will be obeying the spiritual leaders when you apply the word of God that they teach you. That's how you do it. It is disheartening to any pastor or a teacher who cares about the spiritual life of his congregation to watch any of them ignore the word that has been taught to him. So if a person refuses to apply what he has learned, then it's an indication of the rejection of the authority of the spiritual leadership. When this happens, the caring pastor is grieved. But the instruction is that the reason that believers must obey the teaching of the word of God is to provide joy to their spiritual leaders. There is nothing as pleasing to a pastor as to see those he teaches progress spiritually and enjoy God's blessings. Nothing can be so satisfying to a pastor. So, if you want to contribute to the impact of the church today on the world, then show it by being obedient to everything that you learn from the Word of God. Furthermore, do not make it difficult for spiritual leadership to teach by living in disobedience to God's word. A pastor may become discouraged and say something like this: what is the use of teaching my congregation when they don't pay attention to what I tell them from the word of God? In fact, there are some pastors who, because of this thinking, are not motivated to teach their congregation. So I trust that you will not be among one of those who make the function of a pastor difficult. Obey God's word as you hear it taught to you. Do not pick and choose the one that you like to obey. You and I are not given that option. Every part of God's word is to be obeyed by us. We don't make decisions. I like this part. I don't like that part. That's not left to you and I. So, all we need to do is to obey it all. That is your contribution towards the good functioning of a local church and in the impact of the church of Christ on the world. Obey God's word and you'll do your part. Let's pray. As we close our study this morning, there may be someone here who has not come to know Christ as his or her Savior. Your life is confused, you're in a mess because you're under the guilt of sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means there is a great burden that you're carrying around. Burden of guilt associated with sin. And you've tried everything, you're not getting any relief. And you can't get relief. But there is one way that you can find relief. And that is by what God has done for you. In eternity past, God the Father came out with a plan of salvation. In that plan, it was agreed that Jesus Christ would go to the cross, that he would come to this planet, take on a human form, and live among sinful men. What a touch it must have been for him. Yet, it was nothing compared to the touch on the cross. When our sins were poured upon him, Jesus Christ shouted, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," or "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because he was bearing the penalty of our sins. Now, when he finished bearing them, he said, "It is finished." So what's left? You can have that relief right now. You say, how? If you trust that it was because of you that Jesus Christ went to that cross, if you believe that when he said it's finished, that he actually paid the debt that you owe about your sin. If you believe that, if you trust that, then you have eternal life. That's a promise. That's why the Bible said, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And by believing in him, you will have life through his name." Trust him, eternal life is yours. But on the other hand, if you reject him, condemnation is already upon you. So escape now that you have the opportunity by trusting and believing that Jesus Christ died for you. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray now that the Holy Spirit will take the truth that we have listened to, challenge our souls to bring glory and honor to you. For we request in Christ's name, amen.